Hi, and welcome to the Understanding English Phrasal Verbs podcast. My name is Alyssa, and I am an English coach. I help introverts and immigrants express themselves in English and better understand their new culture through introspection and language support. Hi again, and welcome back. I've recently moved into a new apartment, and now I have a quieter space to record. So no more weird neighbor sounds. And in other news, I have recently had my 3-year anniversary of living in Argentina. So all new nice things. Today, I want to talk about something that honestly, I should have talked about in episode 1 or 2, and that is why even learn phrasal verbs. So everyone knows that they're complicated. And some English students even say that they hate them. If there is many times a one-word equivalent, then why even bother? So let's get right into it. I'm going to give you 5 reasons why you should continue studying phrasal verbs. Okay, number 1. If you want to understand movies or series or even books in English, you'll need to be able to at least understand what phrasal verbs mean. Because movies and series in English are pretty close to how people speak in real life. That means that they are absolutely full of phrasal verbs. Unlike in real life, they also might contain more idioms and cliches. This depends on the kind of movie or series, and in general, good movies and series won't use so many idioms or cliches unless it's to be ironic and funny. For example, Friends, I think that they use a lot of the style of humor, they use a lot of idioms or cliches, and it is for comic effect. If you're watching with subtitles in your native language, which you should stop doing if you want to improve your listening, by the way, these phrasal verbs are often being poorly translated. Sometimes a phrasal verb is just more specific than its single word verb form, so it's better if you know what they're really saying. In nonfiction, you won't find as many phrasal verbs, but in fiction, which is supposed to be the same as spoken dialogue, you will find plenty. Okay, reason number 2, this applies specifically or mostly to immigrants or people traveling to an English-speaking country. If you want to be able to understand people in real life, you will have to be able to understand phrasal verbs. So actually, I don't try to make my students or even listeners of this podcast necessarily use phrasal verbs themselves, but you must at least be able to understand them. And that task is much easier than using them. So don't worry if they seem scary, because understanding is much easier than using. But if you're going to an English-speaking country, or if you'll be working with native English speakers, we use them constantly. It's really hard to find a dialogue that doesn't have at least one phrasal verb. So if you're moving to an English-speaking country, it is absolutely necessary. Number 3 also applies mostly to immigrants or people traveling in an English-speaking country. And this one might surprise you. If you want to connect to those people in real life in an English-speaking country, you'll want to try to use some phrasal verbs. So this is not about accent discrimination or xenophobia. It's just basic psychology. People feel closer and more connected to people who sound like them. There's a quote by Nelson Mandela that says, "If you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. if you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. I think that's a beautiful quote. I love it. So why might you want to connect with someone on such a deep level? So the first thing you might think of are personal or romantic relationships, but also business. You know, I don't really know about business of the past, but I know that the business of today, in the United States at least, is really about connection and connecting, and people want to work with people and buy from people who they have some amount of connection with, who they feel like understands them. There's even an idiom for when you agree with someone that goes, "Now you're speaking my language." It's kind of a business phrase. So whether or not we realize it, we do switch up the way that we talk when we talk to different people. This is kind of a survival strategy. It's called code switching. If this is the first time that you've heard of code switching, I have some links to some information about it in the description of this podcast. Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever noticed someone or yourself doing this, changing the way they talk around different people? It may be that they talk using different words or a different accent or a different attitude. That's called code switching. And we all do it to certain degrees because I guess arguably formality could also be considered code switching, right? Like you don't talk the same way to your grandma as you would talk to your friends or to a teacher. Important note about code switching. Historically, code switching has served as a form of defense from linguistic discrimination, or discrimination in general for people who actually visibly look different from others or from the majority. In the United States, it is used a lot by Black people to, I'm using air quotes, sound white, because in some situations, unfortunately, sounding Black is not safe or accepted. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, maybe I will have an episode related to different dialects of English. There is a dialect called AAVE, or African American Vernacular English. This is a dialect of English used by many, maybe most, Black people in the United States. It has different grammar. It has different, it's different vocabulary and different forms of connected speech, and Black people code switch in the United States to avoid discrimination. Again, I added a link to two different videos about this topic. One of them is really in-depth. One of them is less in-depth, and then also an article. I want to show you an example of this by someone, Barack Obama. I think that, you know, I'm actually not like obsessed with Barack Obama. He's just a good example sometimes for the things I'm trying to point out to you. So I want to show you an example of Barack Obama code switching. And remember, we're talking about code switching because we're talking about connecting with people. And if we want to connect with someone, maybe your coworker from Canada, or you live in the United States and you want to connect more with your neighbors or something, it might feel good to talk like them. So I guess I should include, yeah, I need to include first a clip of Obama, how you usually hear him talking, giving a speech or whatever. And then I will show you Barack Obama talking with, first he's talking with Stephen Curry. I guess that's a sports guy. It is important to mention Black. I guess he's a basketball star. And then also in the other video, he's talking to, who is he talking to in this video? Okay, give me one second. Okay, this first clip is Barack Obama speaking to a crowd of young men about masculinity.
Being a man is first and foremost being a good human. And that means being responsible, being reliable, working hard, being kind, being respectful.
Okay, in the same talk, here he is like basically addressing rappers, saying, you know, if you were confident in your sexuality, why would you need 8 women twerking on you? So it's as if he's having a conversation with a rapper, and listen to how he makes this comment.
I mean, why are you all like, you seem stressed that you...
He had a visible change in the way, maybe, I'm not sure if you noticed that, but he basically switched to AAVE for that comment. Here's one more example of Obama speaking differently when he is doing like a volcano experiment with Stephen Curry, who I think is a basketball star.
Oh man.
That's science.
Anyways, so Obama was really well known for doing this and for doing this really well. When he greets a crowd of people, he like customizes his greeting for who each person is, and he does it very well. He can go into any group of people and basically speak like them. It's not something fake. It's that he belongs to different groups with different kinds of people, and he can adapt in that way. So that's code switching. Okay, the fourth reason is if you want to sound more natural. So phrasal verbs are not used excessively in formal written correspondence. And I want to make a note here. Your day-to-day email within your own office is most likely not formal. Email in general is not really formal. But in speaking, phrasal verbs show up everywhere. And actually, I want you to know this, that not using phrasal verbs and opting for a single Latin-based word, it often throws off the sentence. That means that the word sounds out of place. Okay, the following example comes from an online magazine called MED, Macmillan English Dictionary. And they say, one purpose of not using phrasal verbs is to create a deliberate stylistic incongruity for humorous effect. For example, what time did you rise this morning? Rather than, what time did you get up or wake up this morning? As mentioned in my episode called Are Phrasal Verbs Informal? Phrasal verbs are no more or no less formal than any other vocabulary word. Actually, they can be formal, informal, but they're basically usually neutral. And did you know that there are special phrasal verbs that would be considered appropriate specifically for medical or business English? And others that seem strangely formal, just like any other normal words. Also from Med Magazine Online, one literary critic review of contemporary fiction was criticizing an author for not using enough phrasal verbs. So this was posted in the magazine. They were discussing formality of phrasal verbs, and they found this example of a literary review. And the critic was saying that, this was a literary critic. This wasn't like an English teacher or a grammar person. But the literary critic said he called the author's lack of phrasal verbs a, quote, major problem. And he said that the characters seemed detached and overly formal. So basically, if you want to sound natural, you should try to throw in some phrasal verbs because in some cases it will sound really awkward. Okay, number five, the last one, is if you want to express a very specific action, because sometimes a phrasal verb is the only way. Sometimes a single word could more or less describe something in the same way as a phrasal verb, but many times it just isn't the same because it isn't as specific. So let me give you some examples. In these examples, I'm only comparing one meaning from each one of these words, okay? Because as you know, these phrasal verbs have multiple meanings, and also these words have multiple meanings. So I'm only comparing one. Okay, disguise and dress up. Disguise means that you're hiding your identity, whereas dress up is often done for fun, but not necessarily to hide who you are. Hang out and meet. So the word meet is really vague. It can be used for business. Sorry, it cut off. So meet can be used for business, meetings, the first time that you see someone, or just when you go to see or visit your friends. It doesn't tell you anything about what kind of situation it is, how long it will last, but hang out also means meet. But in a relaxed way, maybe with no plans, just to pass the time, it likely won't be something short, like only drinking a coffee. So hang out and meet, not necessarily the same thing. Really, they're not. And the last one, get over versus recover. So recover means to no longer be sick or to just go back to normal. But get over can mean to no longer be upset or sad about a situation. Recover has this very serious connotation. Connotation is like the unspoken, maybe undefined sensation or feeling behind a word. So you could say, she is fully recovered from cancer. Okay, because recover sounds serious. But when your friend gets upset or annoyed because you ate all of her fries, you could say, get over it. And you could not say here, recover from it. So finally, here's just a few phrasal verbs that are almost impossible to avoid or to replace with just a single verb, either because the meaning is more specific or that's just the way it is. These are completely random. These are not like anything special. These are just the first ones that came to my mind, but these are very common, so they're worth learning. Wake up, turn off, turn on, look back, look forward. Sorry, look forward to. Hang up, figure out, find out, come back, come in, take off. Well, that is all for today. I hope this has encouraged you or motivated you in some way to continue on this journey of understanding and studying phrasal verbs. They're really important. I promise you that it's going to be worth it. You may be finding and studying phrasal verbs, and you may think, when or where will I ever use this or ever hear this? But the funny thing about learning something new is that once you learn it, you'll start to notice it everywhere if you pay attention. So always be mindful in your learning. If you have any questions about learning phrasal verbs, you can come send me a DM on Instagram at english.4.introverts, or you can send me an email at english.4.introverts@gmail.com. See you next time.